You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Denae. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. Hey everyone, welcome to the Know You're Crazy talk show. My name is Susan Denae, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's topic is grief. I appropriately named today's show as the fuck show of grief because sometimes, I gotta tell you, walking through grief, experiencing grief, and what that does to me emotionally, physiologically, mentally, is it's exactly what it feels like. So not knowing what to do from day to day is part of grief. Not understanding what grief feels like is scary. Being responsible during the loss or caretaking of an elderly parent can feel surreal. A cloud of overwhelm is inevitable. Grief can undermine our embracing a new way of being. Grief as far as shedding an old identity and working towards a new one. When you are clueless about the details about how is that going to come together for me, yet you hunger for the new identity. Grief can show up as crying. It can also show up as boredom. Grief can be self-pity that slowly crawls up on you. Grief can bring with it a sense of mortality. Perhaps for the first time, if you haven't been through the grieving process, especially with the loss of a loved one. Today's show is for you if you've experienced grief or if you are currently within what you could categorize as grief. And if you feel like you don't know who you are at times or where you're going to go now that you've experienced this level of sadness. And to grieve is essentially to let go and to let the process evolve on its own. And so, you know, this morning I was talking to a mentor. We were asking how I was doing. I'm in the middle of an elderly mom who's in the hospital. You know, as much as we'd like to say that COVID doesn't take us out, at least some people, it does. Maybe it doesn't impact us as much like it did in the beginning. Thank goodness. But it is still capable of taking out the elderly. And I was talking to a friend the other day, and, you know, I was talking about, have we really considered, because I'm in my late 40s, that as I age, the COVID is a real deal. Like it's a virus. We can even take the word COVID away if somebody's sick of hearing that, but it's a virus that can take us out. The same way as we age and the bones become brittle, a fall can take us out. You know, these are real life circumstances now. Just one more has been added to the pool, right? One more way to transition or one more way to kind of seal the deal has been added to the pool of possibility of death, really. And so I'm in that right now with my elderly mother, although her body is recovering, the mind's taken a little bit. The infection, it impacts the body. It impacts the mental. It's a disease of a virus of inflammation that impacts the brain. Any of you who studied inflammation understand that, you know, cognitively how our neurons are firing off, you know, this virus is absolutely deadly to that. And so there's a recovery period. And the older we get, unfortunately, and no matter how well we take care of ourselves, the body at 82, I don't care if you're anti-ager or not, is not going to operate like it did when you're 20, right? Like there's going to be some decline. And thank goodness for today's awarenesses and education that we don't have to quite go down as far maybe as others if we apply the tools that are now available to us to educate ourselves on how we can avoid some of the detrimental impacts of things like COVID. But having said that, watching somebody walk through this, especially when you're related to them, can cause grief. And grief is kind of weird. And so as I was talking today with my mentor, and I'm a pretty emotional person. That's the whole reason the show is titled Know You're Crazy. You've heard me say this a million times. But at the end of the day, I respect emotions. I think they guide us. They're there to feel. They're not there to be buried and pushed down. And so when I get overwhelmed, when I get maxed out, when my crazy is at its top, you know, I'm pretty talkative about it. I'm not one that really hides that, and I have no need to hide that. I had an old boss one time say to me, we're sitting in the office, God bless his patriarch ass. I just got to tell you. But he looks at me and he says, you know, Susan, you're an emotional person. And it was not said in a positive light. I think that sometimes we have judged ourselves for being emotional as if this is a bad thing to be emotional, to actually feel, to express. God forbid we express our emotions, right? And what followed up after I left his office, I really was kind of dumbfounded. He said it because it was an insult. Definitely it was an insult. Afterwards, as I thought about his comment, I thought, you know, when I look around the office, the most emotional people in this office are the most productive and they make the most money. Because when we are emotional, we feel it can drive us. It can take us to new levels of accomplishment. But certain emotions can send us sideways. Certain emotions can cause us to pause when perhaps we don't want to pause. That was the conversation with my mentor this morning. Me feeling overwhelmed, stuck. It's been a few years, and grief has kind of been floating around in the background, and there's different stages of grief. So the one I'm going to really talk on. So a few years back, when I went through serious grief for the first time and the loss of my father suddenly, he was had a week to talk to him before he went on the ventilator when COVID did take him out a couple years ago. He transitioned in December of 20. One of the things when I came back from that experience that I really wanted to understand was grief. What do people experience? So often it's kind of like what I found when I had kids. There's a whole bunch to know, and it's not necessarily just rolled out on a red carpet, the information. Nowadays, we have so much opportunity to read and get online and figure stuff out, and we're so pressured for time. I don't know. My generation, I was still, when I had my children, I wasn't Googling everything to figure it out. I barely read that book. I don't know. The hospital used to give you out this book about being pregnant. I like glanced through it. So when I had children, there was all these new things to understand and know. And I remember asking myself, why did nobody talk about this stuff? Why did nobody talk about, like, you know, things that happen to the female body that you're not quite aware of until like 20 years after you've had your children and you're wondering why the pelvic floor's not strong, you know, stuff like that. Grieving's kind of like that, you know, not so much with the pelvic floor, but grieving is kind of like that. When I lost somebody close to me, I didn't understand what was happening or what the magnitude of that impact was going to be on me and also the relationships in my life. Back when that happened, here's what I did remember, and I'm going to talk about this first, was the initial, I think the guy did the, I can't remember if it was a study, but you'll understand, the five stages of grief. Like most people, and I don't know if this is still true today, because I haven't, you know, I don't know what's popular anymore, but most people would revert back to the five stages of grief. And there might be denial in there and anger in there and probably acceptance. And so I was curious about it. Like, what do people really go through these five stages? Is that like always the prescription? Because it seemed that most people would always refer to that when talking about grief. I, in turn, wanted a book that was going to be more scientific. I wanted a book that was going to have done the research and done actual studies. What do people actually experience with grief? You know, what's a more fair assessment than this assumption? Or maybe the scientific research proved that the assumption of five stages is absolutely accurate. I mean, maybe that was still true. So that's what I did, is I found a book. And that book was The Other Side of Sadness by George Bonanno. And one of the things in the book that I'm going to first start talking about was the oscillation of grief. The oscillation of grief. And what he's talking about is the ups and downs and the ride of those emotions. You know, from when we experience a deep sense of loss, especially if somebody close to us has transitioned. I use the word transitioned. You can use the word died. Just use your own filter, whatever works for you. I like the word transition because that's part of my belief system. But the extreme sense of loss that we go through when we have seen someone close to us transition, and the sadness that overtakes us, which is actually described as a desolation, an internal desolation, which is just an internal loneliness, a desperation, actually, of the fear of loss, of not having that person close to us anymore. And we will have that happen to us in the beginning of loss of somebody. And that is the heavy load of grief. That is the part of grief that nobody really wants to entail. And yet we go through that, and then suddenly the dishes need done. The oscillation. Here I'm feeling sad, I'm overwhelmed, but the mortgage still needs paid. The rent bill still needs a check wrote. And then there's like this surreal feeling that we experience. It's weird. How can this part of my life be gone in such a significant impact on me relationally that now I have to turn around and pay the bills or do the dishes or feed the kids or feed the dog and the cat? It almost feels like I'm cheating the one that died out of my attention. It can feel surreal. It can feel out of place. It almost doesn't make sense. The brain has a hard time wrapping itself around, am I in loss or am I in the to-do? One of the things that he expresses very well in the book is the oscillation of grief. And it's that up and down motion that we experience when we go from missing to the presence of the life immediately after the passing of the individual, or the grieving that we're experiencing, you know, the sudden interaction with other people, the weird feeling that people will actually comment that it's surreal how life just keeps going on, and this person is now out of my life, where I no longer, depending on your belief system, they're just no longer in my life. And yet life just continues to move on, and I have a to-do list still, and it feels cheating in a way. You know, the natural tendency is oscillation of life, right? There's always a give and take in life. We breathe in, we breathe out. We have the oscillation of breath. Our sleep, we sleep, we wake up, you know, we sleep, we wake up, the oscillation. And so the grief is just like that. So where we're deep sadness, that deep internal desolation, and then suddenly we have to go live life. Suddenly we have to go live life. And so when looking at the book and understanding the different approaches that he was making to grief, got me back to, well, what are these five stages about? You know, what are the five stages? Are these BS stages of grief? And so what he starts to say is, you know, grief is primarily a sadness. It is one emotion. It is extreme sadness. And the level of sadness, the depth of the sadness, is going to be triggered by certain brand of circumstances. So imagine of the transitioning process and everything that can take place with that. And it's not going to be the same for everyone. You know, that experience, depending on how they transition, how they, you know, go to the other side, or how they die, you know, is that a slow death? Was it one that they were sick over a period of time? Was it a quick death? You know, how we enter that sadness and how long it's going to last, really, is really going to come down to our beliefs in several different areas. And so when I return from break, I am going to talk about those different areas of beliefs and how they can impact the deepness of grief that you may experience, or the temporary state of grief that you may experience. All right, so we will be back shortly.
You can't just fix yourself on the outside and expect the inside to follow. Whether you're 5 or 85, healthy living can begin whenever you decide you want a better life. Tune into Keeping Up with Barbara Scheidegger every month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn about implementing a daily routine and finding a balance to improve your life. Learn to live agelessly. Go to BarbaraScheidegger.com. That's Barbara, ScheidegGer.com.
Tune in to Reinventing You with me, Danielle Silverman, on the second and fourth Monday each month at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. today's world of ever-constant evolution, the only career change that matters is when what you do matches who you are. On Reinventing You, you'll find concrete tools to help you embrace change and feel optimistic and inspired about your future. It's your vision, your life. Be passionate about it.
Are you living life in full expression? Join me, Beth Wolf, on Life in Full Expression each Monday at noon Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To learn how to explore, elevate, expand, and live your best life, discover the seven dimensions of life blueprint of expression. Get ready to fully express, develop your limitless capacity, and experience amazement to become an igniter and inspire. Visit BethWolf.com to discover the dynamic coaching of life in full expression.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know You're Crazy show. My name is Susan Denae, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's talk is on grieving. It's on grief. It's the experience of grief, the sadness that comes along with it, the process that comes along with it. How long does it last? How long does it not last? What is determining the impact of the grief? As I shared in the first segment of the show, I was, after my father had passed a couple years ago, what felt sudden, I had about a week with him before he transitioned. I decided to instead assume that I'm just supposed to go through this. People would say to me, oh, you're grieving. Just expect that. You're grieving. And I didn't know what that meant because I had never lost anybody close to me. I had grieved over the loss of a pet. I had grieved over the loss of my first marriage to my children's father. I had even grieved a little bit with some identity stuff that I was walking through, but I had not grieved the loss of somebody close to me. I didn't really know what to expect. As I was sharing in the first segment, the weird thing about grief is when somebody close to you transitions, the next day the bills need paid, the next day the dishes need done. In fact, could be moments later, you need to go get something to eat and everything feels surreal. It almost feels as if it's not supposed to happen like that, as if I'm cheating out the person of my attention, the one that died, as if they're conscious enough or aware enough to even care. Grief is tricky. It's a little confusing. It can feel overwhelming. I didn't know that that's what I was going to be walking into. So instead of me assuming that I was going to go through these five stages or even the five stages of grief that I'm sure you've heard about, I decided to start reading up on grief the same way I did a lot of studying around death in different cultures and how they experience death and what their beliefs around death are. And what I found in one of the books that I picked up on grieving was that it is absolutely individual to each person. And there's a few things that contribute to that. One of the things that will contribute to your experience with grief or the loss of somebody is what your beliefs are around that. Many of us have been influenced by religion, whether it was voluntary or involuntary. I was raised in a Catholic household. I do not practice that religion today, but that is where I was raised. And so the belief system within the Catholicism literally has some strong opinions around the afterlife. Some people might refer to it as heaven. Some people may actually still need or do believe that heaven exists. And that'll bring some type of a peace to them in their final days. Other people in Catholicism also believes that if somebody commits suicide, that they're in purgatory, like they ain't going to get to heaven. I have personally witnessed folks who have lost somebody close to them and had early influence in Catholicism experience distress at the idea when the person close to them passed away, one by suicide, another one had passed away, but it had, you know, lived a life of culturally, I don't even know how to say this, behaved in a way in which most people in cultural beliefs would say that wasn't okay, right? And so this person was concerned that they weren't going to go to heaven. And so the religious beliefs behind these two scenarios were impacting the survivor of how much peace or non-peace they were going to have with the person who passed away. And the beliefs directly would impact what their experience was going to be in the present. It's important to look at your beliefs around life and death when it comes to how, if you're even pondering, how would I experience grief if somebody close to me transitioned, if somebody close to me died, how would I experience that? Because you will get an indication by simply asking yourself, well, what are my beliefs around death? Do I have a fear that somebody can still go to a quote unquote hell? Do I believe in hell? Do I believe in, you know, the pearly golden gates of heaven? I don't know. You know, the other one that will impact how you experience grief is your relationship with the individual. Different relationships are going to impact you differently when they pass away. A positive, loving, respectful relationship with the parent is going to give you one level of grief. And where if you are super angry or resentful at a parent, you will have a different experience with grief. And I'm not saying that that experience is necessarily right, wrong, bad, or indifferent. The positive, loving parent, you might have a shorter experience with sadness because you just trust in your belief system that all is well. Where somebody who comes from a dysfunctional, perhaps a parent who was abusive, will be much sad or more sadder, is that a word, sadder for a longer period of time because the relationship really never had any closure in the physical realm. That could also be an experience. So what your beliefs and what the relationship of the person who has transitioned is to you will directly impact how you experience that loss, that sadness that I spoke about in the first segment, how deep it goes. Those are two things that will contribute significantly to that. I know for me, when I picked up the book that I referenced in the beginning of the show, which let me just read it because I don't like to get it wrong, The Other Side of Sadness by George Bonanno. The reason why I wanted to read that book was because he's taking more of a scientific research approach to grieving and what people go through with the bereavement process. He wanted to know that if the five stages of grief were actually a thing, if everybody experienced a very similar tendency to go through those five stages, or if it was different. And his research went into the folks who had lost family members or friends or close ones to the 9/11 attack. And what he found was very interesting. Depending on the individual and their perspective and their beliefs, like I had mentioned, really determined how long or not long they would be sad about the loss of a loved one. There was one that stands out to me where a mom and her daughter were super close. They were going to run, they ran a business or they were building a business together. They talked every day on the phone, and the daughter had died in 9/11. And when he spoke to the mother, what he comments in the book is how well she come across, like not sad at all. She had totally embraced the idea that her daughter had transitioned and she was grateful for the time that she had with her. And the mom also came from a perspective of my daughter wouldn't want me sitting on the sideline grieving over her and not living my life. And so I have chosen to move on. Other individuals he would interview had lost someone, and yet a few years later, they were still in a deep sadness that they had yet to shake. So what happens when you're in those deep sadness that's hard to shake? You know, how do we function? You know, at the beginning of the show, I was in the opening of the show, I was talking and sharing about, you know, grief can be sadness. Grief can feel like overwhelm when the to-do list is large, but you're suffering from a deep depression of loss, of sadness for somebody. You know, what does that look like? I know for me, it sucks. It just sucks. There's no other if and where about it. When my father passed away, you know, taking over somebody's life is what it felt like, their finances, the paperwork, how somebody else is taken care of. If you have an elderly parent who's now surviving, they might be faced with dementia, their caretaking, and suddenly you find yourself, like for me, my children are almost raised. I'm not pushing toddlers no more. You know, teenagers, sometimes you think they're toddlers, but they're not. They have a louder voice and they actually sometimes make sense, but you wonder if that's right or not. Anyway, but as your children are already raised and then you find yourself making decisions for your parents. And if you're not close to the parents, like proximity wise, that can be a very stressful thing. So going through all of that for me has been really quite challenging and stressful at times. Battling with the guilt. Am I doing enough? battling with integrity. Did I not call enough? Should I call every day? I know they're lonely, but I'm not calling as much as I could. Feeling guilty over not being there as much as I think I could be there, or am I supposed to be relieving them of their pain? I know for me, one of the best things that I can't remember if I heard it or I don't remember where I got it from, but understanding that, oh, I know, it was my therapist. She's fantastic, by the way. But it was letting me understand that my mom has her own journey and it's none of my business. I do remember feeling that way about my children when I went through my divorce and was dealing with the grieving and the loss of that marriage, and thinking about the trips that we wouldn't take together as a family, and thinking about the birthday parties that would be split or at least awkward, right? And just understanding that my children had their own experience with this, and that their experience, I could do my best to be a positive and loving influence on them, but ultimately their experience into their adulthood would not really be any of my business, as long as, you know, I kept them safe and loved. But there's no way we can protect people from their own pain. They have to walk through life the same as you do and I do, and we all have our own experience. Now, who am I to say what somebody's experience should be or how it should look? I'm not in their head. I'm not living their day-to-day. Grief can bring up those conflicts, you know, that guilt and the integrity piece of it, and the real battle. And the whole time, I always like to call them, you've heard me say this before, likely, if you listen to the show, I call them like the little floaties. It's like the little thing out here that's energetically taking from us. And yet we become so tolerant of it and so aware that it's there, especially capable people. Are you a capable person? Are you like really good at responsibility and you get stuff done? And you know, you're the capable one not even in the family, just you're capable. You get a lot of stuff done. Sometimes those little floaters, they add up, and you got, you know, one over here with, you know, grief and loss over something. And then you've got a job over here and you got a kid going on over here, and oh, and then you got the health bubble, right? And so there's constantly something always pulling at us. And when you've got grief in your life and a sense of loss and a sense of sadness, all those things are still going on. And yet finding the energy and the ability to function can be challenging for some of us. And that was one of the reasons why it was strongly suggested today that maybe I talk on this topic, because that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at, is hopping in the car and driving 1,000 miles back and forth at least 25 times in the last 3 years, you know. And there's a reason for the drive, because I'm taking stuff back and forth, or I'm not wanting to get stuck in a town without my own car. Or sometimes you just need the drive in order to bring the sanity back, right? You just need that downtime. I like to drive. But things like that, time away from family, wondering about the financial logistics of how everything's going to work out. These are real life matters that we all deal with. You know, if somebody, when I really think about what my experience has been over this last few years of the pandemic, wasn't it millions of lives lost during that time? And in addition to that, think about how many people we lose and lives are impacted by cancer that are lost. Think of how many individuals on a daily basis suffer from grief on some level. You know, I get tangled up and lost in a lot of things, you know, with identity and trying to figure out where I want to be today, in addition to other losses. So when I come back from my break right now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to lead us into the beliefs around death. What do you think about death? How do you feel about death? And how does that impact the level of grief that you experience when someone close to you transitions? All right. So we will be back shortly. I will be back shortly after this break. If you are looking to any type of coaching or services that I can provide, you can reach out to my website at susandene.com and shoot me an email. I'll be more than happy to be in touch with you. Or you can also check out my YouTube channel or any of that for any further talks that I do. All right, be back shortly. Thank you.
Damayanti, Jewelry, Clothing, and Homewares, with inspiring Sanskrit messages of strength, love, and divine energy, power words that shine a light on your soul path. Our jewelry is made in America and shipped directly from us to you. Damayanti, join us as we take our soul journey together. Go to damayanti.store now to find the special Sanskrit mantra that speaks to your soul.
What are you connected to? Or what are you disconnected from? Tune into The Connected Conversation with Brett Hill on ttrlive.com and learn how to avoid unnecessary suffering and activate your mind-body connection. Step into a life that works for you. Flourish and express our natural creativity and exuberance as you learn how to look deep within and find your natural allies and connect authentically with yourself, others, and the world. To learn more, visit theconnectedconversation.com.
Living a life by design. It's the journey back to you and living 365 days of purpose with host Esther Graham. Tune in every second and fourth Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Discover that what is possible is already in you. God designed a phenomenal life for you. At Living a Life by Design, Esther helps you ignite the energy behind your personal journey. For more information, visit fddwomen.com.
Everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's topic is grief. How do we walk through grief? What does grief do to us? How long does it last? What determines the length of grief that we may experience? How many people around you are grieving right now? Have you asked yourself that question? Before I went to break, I touched lightly on a little bit of, you know, we just walked through a pandemic and the millions of lives that were lost, in addition to lives that are lost every day due to cancer and other means, accidents and all the above. I mean, drug overdoses, right? I mean, how many people are grieving? Energetically, what that does to us and how it impacts our relationships, you know, and the impact of the belief around death and how that will correlate to the experience that we have with grief. I touched briefly on that earlier on in the show, the religious beliefs and how that can impact our experience after someone passes, whether you practice a religion that believes in heaven or hell, purgatory, is your loved one now experiencing that? Some beliefs are in higher consciousness. You know, we are all that is. That's more of the realm that I come from. You know, I believe the physical body goes away, but I believe there's a piece of consciousness that gets entered back into the stream of consciousness, and that energy in and of itself is alive. So therefore, I do believe that certain hits and communication can come from afterlife or the non-physical realm. I'm comfortable with that belief. It brings me solace. It's just my belief system. So what you believe as far as death is concerned, will absolutely impact the grieving process. I have mentored women who have been grieving for years. I've mentioned on other shows, when I touch lightly on this topic, you know, the impact that a anniversary date can have on some individuals, the belief that on a particular day, I need to feel sad about the loss of this person, the necessity behind reliving the loss just because it's the day of that person died, that can impact us in how we grieve. And are we choosing that date for a reason? Why are we choosing to relive the death in a negative way? Or is it just a healthy sense of sadness? It's a reminder. We represent the day and we remember what we were doing the year before. I would say that you might have a problem with grief the same way I would lightly joke about a problem with alcohol. If you're still grieving heavily on those days and it's been like 20 or 30 years, I mean, there's a certain point where maybe you might want to let go a little bit more so that you can experience peace and satisfaction. Every anniversary day is a celebration of that transition, right? So different ways of looking at death. What about when you are in life and you have a different kind of death? What about I'm going to stir in one direction, and then I'm going to come back to physical death when we experience somebody who transitions. What about just life circumstances of grieving? What about when you embrace a brand new identity? You're looking to become a new person in a new area and you can't quite shake the old way, but you're not quite into the new way. And so in between is a bitch. I always like to say awareness is a blessing and a bitch all at the same time. What about that type of death? What about the ego death? I was thinking about Eckhart Tolle today as I was pondering, grieving, and letting go and higher consciousness. And Eckhart Tolle does such a fantastic job of talking about the ego deaths and losing attachments. You know, how many times are we attached toxically to items that keep us in a sad state of mind for fear of letting go, of truly surrendering? If you've ever experienced an ego death, you will know it is not a pleasant process. Sometimes it can last, well, I'm probably in one right now that's lasting about 4 or 5 years, might be a little bit past the time I want it to last, but there's good in that. And there's a little bit of obnoxiousness in it also. So there are different types of deaths that we can experience. And when we're letting go a certain portion of our old self, that can experience its own grief. Like, I miss being able to be more blunt, as much as, you know, I've learned to articulate in a more professional fashion my words. And maybe that's just getting older and maturing. But I kind of miss the obnoxious side that I used to live more often, you know. There's different things in my personality that, although they have gone to the wayside, and I am glad about that, I still kind of miss it. And so there's things that we will leave or we let go as we gain new experience. Sometimes it's because we age. I like to call some of those the personality ego deaths, and those can be sad too. We don't quite know who we are, and we're kind of like in our own state of indecision at times. That can happen. You know, I think that the tender part of grief is the tender part of grief, and yet the altruistic side of grief would be the absolute presence that grief brings to us and death brings to us, the in the moment being aware of everything. I don't know if it's necessarily a pull to be emotionally sad, an addiction to sadness during it, a borderline self-pity that we may experience. To provide an example, if you've ever packed up the belongings of someone who has transitioned, it can be a not even bittersweet. It's really sad, but there's a total awareness and presence of what you're touching, of how they used it. The tenderness of when I would look at my dad's driver's license or his, all the business cards he'd have in his wallet because of the ones that he used for the car mechanic. He had all the cards of everybody, you know. He was not a cell phone guy. He was still doing the wallet with the business cards, or I'd pull out the pictures that he had of his grandkids and or he had of my sister and me and how old or dated they were. You know, the sentimental things that we notice, the presence that it comes when we're experiencing a transition of somebody who's gone. Even this week being around my mom and going to her apartment and making sure the affairs are taken care of. My mom is like 4'7", and now she's lost so much weight. I think she might be like 120 some pounds. She's just a teeny little thing, but her little feet are like size 2.5, and seeing the shoes, you know, I always think shoes give us such character. You can really tell a lot about a person if you look at their shoes. You can tell if they like bright, shiny, expensive shoes. You can say if they've walked in those shoes a long time, which will tell me that they're, you know, they've either got a pull to those shoes or super comfortable for their feet. If you ever watch a homeless person and you look at their shoes, you can tell how many miles they may have been walking in those shoes. And, you know, sometimes it'll bring a little heartache to you. And I think that's the heartache of grief that we experience. When we see the personality that comes through and the items that they surround themselves with. And that is the human connection, in my opinion. That is where we connect, when we can feel true compassion and true love for our fellows. And fella, is it men and women, we, whatever. But when we can truly feel that touch and that connection by seeing their character and what they portrayed in their life, and knowing that we were touched by those people intimately, emotionally, mentally. We've spent years with these individuals who have passed and have gone on their own way, and what that represents to us. Going through and touching somebody's items when you know that the end is coming near can be a a truly sad, but it can also be a joyful experience if you have positive memories about it. You know, and in that book I was mentioning earlier, one of the things that the five stages of grief never mentioned was happiness or positivity. Isn't that interesting? It didn't mention happiness or positivity. In fact, it would convey, I think what I read in this book, so, you know, was that if you were positive, that that was somehow conveying a sense of denial. And what's really awesome is positivity and laughter is quite common in the grieving process. In fact, it is natural, you know, the oscillation between sadness and happiness. You know, we, my sister and I, when my dad passed away, he was literally on his last few breaths. And my dad was known to be a very blunt man. You know, in fact, on his gravestone, we had inscribed telling it like it is in heaven, because that's the type of man my dad was. In fact, people would come up to me after he transitioned and they'd say, you know, I didn't like your dad, but I respected him because he really told you where he was at all the time. And so we're sitting there in the hospital and the nurses, everybody's waiting for him. You know, he's about ready to die and they've taken him off the machines and all of that. And you think it's the last breath. If any of you have been by somebody's hospital bed when they've transitioned, it is truly an experience. But we think it's his last breath. And my sister and I are both, you know, each of us holding a hand. And he does that. And then it stops. I look at my sister and I said, I think he's gone. And I'm not kidding you. It felt like a minute went by and he breathed again. And I said, isn't it just like him to mess with us right now? And we both start laughing. And the laughter was like such a needed release that we couldn't stop laughing. And sure as shit, you know, he took his last breath and there we were celebrating the exit of his, you know, the end of his suffering and into the afterlife he goes. But, you know, the laughter that can come with grief is natural. It's necessary. It is not denial. There's been many stories when people are leaving a funeral and there's laughter in the car. You know, what a joyous expression during a time of when did we decide that death has to be so sad? It's always selfish, isn't it? It's always us deciding that we're going to lose something when somebody transitions. It's all about us because honestly, they're gone. You know, whether you believe they're in heaven, hell, higher consciousness, whatever, the reality is physically they are gone. And so you can, any sadness that I'm experiencing as a result of my father being gone or my mom who's not doing too good right now is just simply because what I'm going to lose, right? It's simply what I'm going to lose. And there is sadness when you're seeing if somebody's in the end of their last days and they're suffering. There is real sadness in that for the other person. So grief can be quite interesting in how we choose to experience, but wouldn't you agree that at the end of the day, it's all coming down to how we experience it and what our relation is to it and what our beliefs are. All right. So that is the show on grief today. I am going to do a wrap up here. So keep in mind, if you are in the process of grieving, it can be a bit of a bumpy ride. It's directly the length of the grieving and how deep it goes is going to be a result of what are the beliefs around death? What are the beliefs around transitioning? What's the connection with the individual who you are grieving right now or about to grieve? And what is that? And don't be afraid of positivity during this. And grief is oscillation. It means it's going to come and it's going to go. It'll feel surreal. You'll have moments where you're wondering, I can't believe the cat still needs fed and so-and-so just passed away. It can feel off, but it is all natural. It's part of who we are as human beings. We are connected to a certain level, right? But as in all things, I believe that there are shortcuts to how long we feel negatively emotionally, right? And hopefully that makes sense. And we are in control of it somewhat. So if you are experiencing the loss of somebody right now, my heart goes out to you. Stay strong, stay faithful if you can, cry when you need to, be joyful when you got to, and share fun stories and just embrace that person was in your life for a reason for a particular period of time. Having said that, that is a wrap. If you'd like to contact me for any coaching or any other services such as speaking or teaching or any of that good stuff, you can reach me out at my website at susandene.com. You can also check out any of my social media on LinkedIn, YouTube, Insta, all of the above. All right, folks, well, you have a nice evening and talk soon. That's a wrap. You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or Growth Spurt Your Life, please visit SusanDene.com. That's Susan Dene, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.